to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get The Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Our guest this morning is Galen Ross, and certainly we've enjoyed having Galen as a guest in the past, and he's written a number of books. We have one book, Who's Who in the Elite, which is simply lists the members of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. It's an important book to have, just as a source of reference, so you can keep up to date with who the people are who are working within these elite groups, intent upon establishing a new world order, a new world religion, and, of course, the coming world leader. Now, not everybody in these groups understands, but the leaders certainly do. And the Council on Foreign Relations is a front for a secret society that was created in 1891. And nobody's going to tell you that, although if you want to verify it, it's on pages 951 and 952 of Professor Quigley's classic book, long suppressed, of course, entitled Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, but we do carry the book, and we think everybody who values liberty would want to read it, because it tells you about the secret society that is really running the world today. Now, it's only one of the secret societies, and Professor Quigley totally missed the point that this is founded in the occult, but other than that, the book is brilliant, because Professor Quigley was one of the most brilliant men, brilliant historians of the last century. Well, Galen Ross with us this morning has done some wonderful work, too. He's written a book on the assassinations of JFK, MLK, and Bobby Kennedy. We'll be talking about the assassinations this morning. The government does use assassins, and they kill people in America. Of course, usually they'll try to discredit them or get them off to prison, but they do kill political leaders. And if you doubt that, you know, there's a wonderful book written by Lieutenant General William Odom, and he headed the NSA. And, of course, he can't really tell you what he found, but he can ask questions. And in the book, published in 2003, he asked the question, should the CIA be assassinating people? Should the CIA be assassinating people? Only a question. Doesn't say that they do. But we know that they do. They don't necessarily do it themselves. They pay other people to do it. And then they can say, we didn't assassinate anybody, but your tax money did, or the money that they get from their black operations. Well, with that, there's a background. Galen, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't we get into your book, the murder of JFK, RFK, and MLK.
All right. We might just start with Lincoln.
All right.
History says that Lincoln was killed over slavery. Slavery had zero to do with his death. He was killed because he created money. That's as simple as it can be. He needed money to finance the Civil War, and so he went to his Secretary of Treasury, Solomon Chase, and asked him to print money, and so he did. He puffed about $450 million worth of what they call greenbacks and put them in circulation to pay the federal debt, and it was very successful. And so the Rothschilds, who were the creators of money in those times and still today, didn't want him to create money, so they had one of their agents, John Wilkes Booth, kill Lincoln.
And, well, now, of course, there's a question, you know, did Booth really die in the fire, or do you think he escaped?
After he killed Lincoln, he got on his horse and escaped and went to this tobacco barn with his companion. And so the soldiers followed him there, and they thought there was only two people in the barn, but there actually were three. And so they told him if they didn't come out, they were going to shoot. And so they didn't come out, and so they started shooting. But Puth escaped out the back door, went to the coast, and got on a ship and sailed to England, went to London, and collected his final payoff from the Rothschild. In those days, money was worth just a whole lot more than it is today, but when he killed Lincoln, he had $8,000 in his possession. And when he went to London, he got his final payoff. From there, he sailed to India, went to Bombay, and died 14 years later after Lincoln was killed of natural causes.
And I think what people really don't remember about the Lincoln assassination is that it was looked upon at that time as a conspiracy. In fact, there were three or four other people who were hung, you know, as part of a conspiracy. People say, well, you believe there's a conspiracy. Well, there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of Lincoln because they hung a whole flock of other people. And,
right.
Of course, they acknowledged at that time it was a conspiracy, but they could never bring out the truth about it because of the people really behind this, of course, could never be exposed because they control the media, and, of course, it would be worth your life to bring out the truth. Well, go right ahead, Galen.
The evidence that I found on this case was John Wilkes Booth's granddaughter, Isola Forrester. She was not satisfied with what the media reported about her grandfather, so she went into exhaustive study and wrote a 500-page book titled "This One Mad Act."
Who was the granddaughter?
Isola Forrester.
Really, Isola was, because I've met Isola, and she, is that book available?
Yes, it came out in 1930 or 1935 or something like that. You can get it on the internet.
Well, I must know a different Isola Forrester then, because the one I knew is, you know, I knew her in the 1990s. So
she's probably no longer living.
All right, fine.
But
anyway, it's and the title again.
This One Mad Act.
One Mad Act. Okay.
Yeah, this One Mad Act.
And, of course, these are the things that are never going to be covered in the controlled media today.
No.
Pick up the story from there.
She interviewed several of the soldiers that were there at the time of the killing, supposed killing of Booth, and they swore that Booth had red hair, but she knew for a fact that Booth had raven black hair.
Right.
But the soldiers collected their reward. They presented the body, and the case was closed.
Okay, we'll be back in just a moment with Galen Roth. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they really do kill people. They've been doing it for centuries, and they're doing it today.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Galen Ross, and Galen, we're talking about his book on the assassinations of JFK, RFK, and MLK. So go right ahead.
I said that a minute ago that Rothschilds didn't want Lincoln to create money. At that time, they were charging 24 to 36% interest on their money. And so Lincoln couldn't see any point in paying that, and so he had Solomon Chase print $450 million worth of greenbacks. Now, from there, if we fast forward to November 22, 1963, at the assassination of John F. Kennedy, you'll find that he was killed for exactly the same reason. On June 4, 1963, John F. Kennedy signed Executive Order 11110, instructing the Treasury Department to print silver certificates. And in fact, they printed about $4.3 billion worth of silver certificates, and these were redeemable in silver at any federal bank. And so we find then that Lincoln and JFK were killed for exactly the same reason.
And, of course, the one thing they do not want is any sort of a currency with a gold backing, or in this case it would have been a silver backing. They want, of course, the central bank to be able to issue the money. And, of course, they control the central bank here in the United States. They call it the Federal Reserve System, but it's about as Federal Express is. It's not a federally owned or controlled organization. It is the organization that controls the federal government through the reins of money, and of course creates crises or creates prosperity. They can do whatever they want to, and the president is beholden to the bank, not the reverse. I think that's so important. And yes, I've seen those bills that were printed, those silver certificates, and in fact, when I was young, 40, 50 years ago, I can remember seeing the Lincoln greenbacks, which were still in circulation at that time, and they had a blue a stamp on them instead of the red or the green. They were different. They were not backed by anything when they were printed, but it was the vehicle that they needed money for the Civil War, and they created it out of nothing. Well, today we're doing exactly the same thing, only now, of course, there are no restraints at all, and the federal debt of the United States is $9.3 trillion, well on the way to infinity. Go right ahead.
Stan, the real debt, when they say that $9.3 billion, that's
what they talk about.
That's on budget.
It's really a 50 or 60 trillion, isn't it?
No, it's somewhere between 75 and 100 trillion dollars.
Okay, because that takes in all the obligation for Medicare and Social Security and Medicare drug and all of the things they don't have any money for.
That's right. But back to JFK, I was fortunate enough to meet a young lady named Madeline Duncan Brown,
Oh, yeah.
And she lived in Dallas, and every time I'd go to Dallas, we'd have lunch or dinner together, and she'd talk about the assassination. And so one day she said, Galen, I've known you long enough that I've got to tell somebody the whole story, and I think I can trust you. Can I tell you the whole story? And so I said, certainly. And so she did, and then she agreed later to do it on video, and I have that available as titled The Clinton Murchison Meeting.
Now, she was, of course, Lyndon Johnson's mistress.
Yes, and, for 21 years.
Right, and so she knew exactly what was going on, as far as Lyndon Johnson and the government was concerned. She knew all the players. And why don't you tell the story about the party that was thrown the night before?
There was a so-called social event at one of Clint Murchison's houses off Preston Avenue in North Dallas. And there were something like 50 or more people were invited to this social event. And the stated purpose was to honor J. Edgar Hoover, who was in town, along with his playmate, Clyde Tolson. And so the Madeline Brown was said she was Lyndon Johnson's mistress, and so whenever he was anywhere in Texas, they would arrange for her to be nearby in case he could slip off and be with her. And so she got to meet all of the wheelers and dealers in Texas, and so whenever there's any sort of major social event, she was always invited, whether Johnson was there or not. And so she thought that that was the case here. She knew that Kennedy and Johnson were in Houston that day, and so she went to this party, and it started around 8 o'clock or so and ended somewhere around midnight or later. And about somewhere around 11:30 or 12 or something like that, all of a sudden the front door opened and Lyndon Johnson came walking in. And so Clint Murchison stood up then and said, okay, men, we can have a meeting now. And so the 25 men went into the conference room and closed the door. And but Madeline has told me that all of the people that attended this secret meeting, and plus most of the people that were there just socially. And so let me just go over some of the attendees. It was at Clint Murchison's house, so he was there. H.L. Hunt was there. He was the wealthiest oil man at that time. Lyndon Johnson just came in, and so he was there. George Brown of Brown and Root was there. A fellow named John J. McCloy attended the secret meeting. At that time, he was chairman of the Council of Foreign Relations and chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank and former high governor of Germany right after World War II. But he was an agent of the Rothschilds. Richard Nixon was there. J. Edgar Hoover and his playmate, Clyde Tolson. The former mayor of Dallas, Earl Cabell, was there. Amon G. Carter, Jr. Buford Ross Sheffield, a contractor. R.L. Thornton, a former mayor of Dallas. John Conley was there. At that time, he was the governor of Texas and campaign chairman for Johnson for many years. So he was at the secret meeting, and so he knew that there's going to be shooting the next day, so I'm sure he was very troubled. Joe Yarbrough over there, he was another contractor. W.O. Bankston was a wealthy auto dealer in Dallas. One of the killers was at this meeting, a fellow named Mac Wallace. He was Lyndon Johnson's number one hitman. Johnson would contact Cliff Carter and give Cliff the instructions, and Cliff would contact Mac Wallace, and he would kill whoever Johnson wanted him to. Cliff Carter was there. In fact, Cliff was running the meeting, and at that time he was executive director and treasurer of the Democratic involved in Lyndon Johnson's illegal activities. Now, also, there were several members of the mafia there. Carlos Marcello was there. He was boss of the New Orleans mafia. Joe Savello was boss of the Dallas mafia. Jack Ruby was there. He was owner of the Carousel Club and the killer of Lee Harvey Oswald. Jimmy Hoffa couldn't make this meeting, so he sent his number one lieutenant, a fellow named Larry Campbell, to represent him at this meeting. We also had a couple of members of law enforcement there. Bill Decker was sheriff of Dallas County at the time. He was there. And Clint Peoples was U.S. Marshal and later became senior ranger in the Texas Rangers. And a fellow named Don Smith was there. He was general manager of Del Mar Racetrack for over 25 years in La Jolla, California. It was owned by Clint Markson. But as I said, Clint was running this meeting, and one of the statements he asked was, what about the evidence? And J. Edgar Hoover stood up and he says, "Don't worry about the evidence. All evidence must come to the FBI. Just don't sweat the evidence."
Well, now, actually, you talked to somebody who was actually at the meeting.
Yeah, I didn't name everybody that was in that meeting. One of the persons that was in this meeting I can't name until I get his permission or until he's no longer living. But he's the one that confirmed all the names that Madeline Brown had named. And he's the one that described what went on in the meeting. He's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But this secret meeting was, the purpose of it was to discuss the cover-up of the killings going to take place the next day. And so let's move into the day of the killing. Instead of Lee Harvey Oswald, the Warren Commission says he was the single shooter from the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building, but in fact there was a 15-person death squad. There were two people, well, there actually were four people on the sixth floor. One of them was a Hispanic lady who was about 20 years of age. She was a radio operator. And Cliff Carter, Mac Wallace was up there. And also this fellow named Lawrence Loy Factor. He was a Chickasaw Indian from Fillmore, Oklahoma. He was recruited by Mac Wallace to be one of the shooters. And Lee Harvey Oswald was on the sixth floor at the time of the shooting, but he was standing over near the staircase, and whenever the shots were fired, he immediately went down the second floor into the employee lounge and bought a Coke, and was standing there when a motorcycle patrolman and a building manager came up the stairs looking for the killers, and they saw Lee Harvey Oswald standing by the Coke machine, and building manager said, "Don't worry about him. He worked for us." He actually worked in the building. But then there were two shooters on the
grassy knoll.
There were two shooters and a radio operator on behind the grassy knoll. One of the shooters was Jack Ernst, commonly known as Crooked John. He was a mafia hitman. The other shooter was Clyde Faust, who was a friend of Jack Graham. And then Jack Graham was a wealthy oil operator at that time. And he was always looking for fame. He tried to find the abominable snowman or the Yeti. He tried to search for the Titanic. But he couldn't report his activities there at shooting because it incriminated him. And then on the second floor of the Daltex building back behind the motorcade, Eugene Hale Brading was the shooter along with an unknown radio operator. And then on the roof of the Dallas County Records Building was Sheriff Deputy Harry Weatherford. Harry Weatherford was not there to protect the president, but to help try to kill him, along with another radio operator. But there was six or eight people on the second floor of the Texas group at the Tower Depository Building at that time. Cliff Carter was manning the main radio, and they're using walkie-talkies.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Galen Ross talking about the murder of JFK. And of course, they could never let the American people know the truth. Besides that, Kennedy didn't want to go into Vietnam. He wanted to get our troops out.
Danny Golden.
And we're inviting you to join Voice of Many Waters in our regularly scheduled ministry times every Shabbat, every Saturday, for Amikra, a holy convocation. We're going to begin on February the 2nd from 1 to 3 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish in Johnstown.
If you have any questions, you can contact us at 303-257-7576 or 970-978-0019. Stop living with pain. Discover Magneticare Cell Activating Liquid Complex and RX Magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting Magneticare Liquid Complex, cream, or RX Magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.com.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Galen Ross. Galen, do you have a website?
Yes, it's www.4rie.com. That's 4rie.com.
Okay, and Galen has some excellent material. We carry many of his things, but I'm sure he has things that we don't carry, and I think it's important that you know, you have access to his information. He's done a lot of very fundamental research. Well, anyway, we were talking about the assassination of Kennedy. Now, where did you get your information on who was where and what?
The person that was in the secret meeting the night before at St. Merchant's was also on the second floor of the Texas Coop at the Depository Building, along with Cliff Carter, Bill Becker, Sam Giancana, Jack Ruby and several others. And so Cliff Carter was he was watching the motorcade going by, and he gave the order to shoot, and the radio operators at each of the four sites immediately told their shooters to fire, and so six shots were fired within a 3 or 4 second period of time, and the shooters were instructed as soon as they fired their shot to not eject the cartridge, but to lower their weapon, conceal it, and casually walk away and just become part of the crowd. And
well, now, why did they shoot Governor Connally? Because certainly, you know, he was in on this thing.
I know. In fact, Mike Wallace's assignment was to kill John Connally. He did hit him, but it didn't kill him. And to this day, I don't know why they wanted to kill Connally, but he was one of the targets.
Sure. And because you play with snakes, sometimes you get bitten.
That's right.
And certainly they almost did kill Connally. He was shot in the back. And, Chris, the idea that there was a magic bullet that could be changing its trajectory, you know, going through Kennedy, a bullet fired from, you know, the Texas Book Depository going through Kennedy and then suddenly coming out the front of Kennedy and going through Connally and then coming out of Connally's chest and going through his right wrist and then the left thigh. I mean, how could you possibly do that? And the thing is, you couldn't. But, of course, they convinced the American people that that magic bullet could lose so much of its metal in Connally's wrist and his thigh and still come out in pristine condition and reconstitute itself. And the bullet was found there on the gurney there at the Parkland Hospital in pristine condition.
And it defies all laws of physics.
Right.
The bullet could not have taken those paths.
No, and of course it couldn't reconstitute itself. And I've talked to people who were working in the Parkland Hospital surgery suite, and they saw all the bullet fragments in, you know, in the wrist of Connally and in the thigh of Connally, and yet the bullet suddenly reconstituted all the lead and in pristine position. So, you know, how could that happen? Well, it couldn't have happened. I mean, when are people going to realize that John Kennedy was murdered and there was a government covered up by the same people who are covering up everything today and taking us from war to war to war? And we'll go ahead, Galen.
Yeah, there's another very interesting fact here. One of the appointed members of the Warren Commission was a fellow named John J. McCloy.
Right.
Well, strangely enough, he happened to be at the Clint Murchison meeting the night before Kennedy was killed.
Sure.
So you have a conspirator involved in the killing, also involved in the investigation of trying to find the truth. So you know the truth was not found.
Sure. In fact, there was one of the congressmen on that committee. I've forgotten his name, but he didn't believe it. He believed there was a conspiracy. He wanted to write a minority report. They wouldn't let him. And then, of course, he was flying up in Canada, in Alaska, and his plane went down, and they knew where the plane was. They just never sent anybody in. And he passed. He died there. And as did, well, who was that congressman? Last name starts with an H. Doesn't matter. But anyway,
yeah, I just can't recall his name right now.
Right. Well, anyway, he's certainly one of our frequent guests on our programs. The father was running for Congress at that time, and the two men, the one congressman, and
it
the
was,
other running.
It was Cokie Roberts' father, and I don't remember.
Anyway, the name will come here before long.
Yeah.
But go right ahead with your story.
All right.
Hale Boggs. Hale Boggs was the man.
Yeah, Hale Boggs, yes.
Right. And certainly the other fellow, his dad was on the plane, wrote material on HARP, and we had him as a guest many times on our program. Go right ahead.
But the number one reason that Kennedy was killed was because he created money and the silver certificates. Now, there were a lot of other people that hated Kennedy. Of course, the shadow government or the international bankers hated him because he created the money, and I'm convinced that if he had remained alive, that he would probably have eliminated the Federal Reserve Act.
Well, I think certainly the oil men hated him because he did away with the oil depletion allowance.
The military
hated him because he wanted to get out of Vietnam. He didn't want to get us involved in the war in Vietnam.
In fact, he had already issued orders to pull the troops out.
Sure. So there were lots of people who hated him. Of course, the Edgar Hoover hated him because, of course, Hoover had been covering for the mafia for years, and the Kennedys embarrassed him, and he had to come forward and actually pretend to be fighting the mafia. So all these people hated Kennedy, and they got their revenge.
Yeah, in several Senate hearings, J. Edgar Hoover made a flat statement that there's no such thing as the Cosa Nostra or the mafia.
Right.
But the reason he said that is because he played with them, he consorted with them.
Sure.
Now, the CIA, they hated him because he fired all of the top people in the CIA over the Bay of Pigs fiasco in Cuba.
Right.
And so J. Edgar Hoover had reached retirement age, and Kennedy was fixed to make him retire, and he didn't want to retire. So he was certainly after him. And Kennedy, or Lyndon Johnson, heard rumors that the next election that Kennedy was going to not put him on the ticket with him, and so he wanted to be president. So he was really interested in it. So the mafia, they were after Kennedy.
With good reason. After all, I mean, they'd rigged the election in Chicago, you know, so that Kennedy could win the state of Illinois, and they actually rigged the election in another state. And the idea was that, you know, they'd get Kennedy in, and then Kennedy would leave him alone, and Kennedy didn't keep the bargain that his father had made, and you don't fool with the mafia.
That's right. Now, there's several other interesting sidelines about the JFK killing. There was an organization called Operation 40, which was an assassination squad that was formed and was headed by Richard Nixon. And he held a meeting at the La Cabana Motel with a number of members of the mafia and the CIA. Just before the killing.
We'll be back in just a moment, Galen, right here at the American Freedom Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Do you frequently turn up the TV? Does everyone seem to mumble? Do you struggle to hear loved ones during the holidays? If so, it's time to have your hearing checked.
Hello, my name is Michelle Gross, and I'm a certified audiologist. I've been helping people with their hearing and hearing aid problems for over 20 years. Columbine Hearing Center is dedicated to customized hearing health care.
Call 303-857-6688 today and make an appointment to start hearing better. KHNC listeners will receive a free one-year supply of batteries with their new hearing aid. That's 303-857-6688.
Did you know there's a 3,000-year-old God-given whole food that's changing lives for the better? Limu mui, a sea vegetable full of a miraculous glyconutrient called fucoidin, considered the mother's milk of the sea for its immune-empowering properties. Drink great-tasting limu mui 2 ounces in the morning, 2 ounces in the evening, and see your lives change for the better. Call 720-299-7525 or 720-299-7520.
Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest, Galen Ross. Galen, go ahead and pick up the story there.
Okay, let's just discuss the Warren Commission for just a minute. 57% of the members of the Warren Commission were members of what I call the elite, members of the Bilderberg Council for Foreign Relations or Trilateral Commission. And J.L.R. Ford was Council for Foreign Relations. John J. McCloy was Council for Foreign Relations. In fact, he was chairman of the Council for Foreign Relations at one time. Alan W. Dulles was the director of the Council of Foreign Relations. John S. Cooper, Jr. was Bilderberg's Council of Foreign Relations in Skull and Bones. And Richard D. Russell, Jr. and Hale Boggs were members of the commission, but they were not members of the secret groups. Earl Warren was not a member of the secret groups, but Johnson called Earl Warren and told him that that he was to head up this group. Warren didn't want to do it, but Johnson says you're going to do it anyway, and I want you to come up with the right answers.
Well, I think that, you know, of course, neither Richard Russell nor Hale Boggs believed, you know, the Warren Commission report. And as I mentioned, that Hale Boggs, when his plane went down up in Alaska, the government knew where he was, and of course, no relief was ever sent. And Boggs and the other people on the plane all starved to death, died of exposure. That's how they deal with you if you get out of line. And Hale Boggs told people he didn't believe in the Warren Commission report. Obviously, there was a conspiracy, but we couldn't let the American people know that. Boggs paid a terrible price for being honest. Go ahead.
There's another interesting sideline, and that's when they finally released the Kennedy tapes, which were tapes that of the White House conversations, two people decided they would check out these tapes and write a book about them. And they wrote a book titled The Warren Tapes. This fellow named, and this was 1998, Ernest R. May and Philip Z. Zelikow wrote this book, and both of them were members of the Council of Foreign Relations, strangely enough. So this was all controlled by the elite, and they were behind it, and they controlled it, and they had the proper outcome, and they also controlled the news media, and so they lied about it, and so the world believed it. However, I'm convinced that probably majority of the English-speaking people of the world doubted the Warren Commission's report and doubted what the media and the government said about the killing.
Well, you know, it's tragically why, you know, people know something's wrong, and yet we're told over and over again, new books come out, new programs on television, Lee Harvey Oswald, the lone gunman. So there's so much there intentionally to confuse us about what's going on. Go ahead, Rick Galen.
Okay, now, the Secret Service was responsible for security for Kennedy, but the night before the killing took place, Johnson left the Clint Merchant's meeting and went over to Fort Worth to a place called The Cellar, and that's where nearly all of the members of the Secret Service were there, and they provided free liquor and women, and they partied till 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. And so they were not in shape to protect the president the next day, and that was all done on purpose.
And of course, the other thing is that ordinarily, of course, you would find Secret Service agents running beside the president's car, but there weren't any that day. You wonder why.
They were psyched out somewhere, probably.
Right.
So we might move into Martin Luther King, which was the next killing. Now, they arrested James Earl Ray as being the killer of Martin Luther King. about 2 weeks before he died in the Nashville prison hospital. I interviewed him for about an hour, and he said that he was a patsy, and his brother, Jerry, also confirmed that. And so the actual killer was a fellow that owned Jim's Grill, which was directly across the street from the Lorraine Motel.
There. Now, was he the fellow who was sued by the King family?
Yes. And he was also given a... His name was Lloyd Jowers. He also was given a lie detector test by Sam Donaldson and failed it. But he say he owned the grill, and James Earl Ray was asked to come to Memphis that day by an FBI undercover agent, codenamed Raoul. Well, Raoul told James to meet him there at Jim's Grill, and they had a cup of coffee, and Raoul told him to go to the local gun shop and buy a rifle with a scope on it. So James left and came back a little while later with a 243 caliber rifle and with a scope on it, and Raoul looked at it and he says, "You idiot, this is the wrong gun. Go get a 30-06. Well, a 243 caliber is just as deadly as a 30-06 at that range. But the reason he had to change the caliber of the rifle is because the real killer's caliber rifle was a 30-06. So James went and got another rifle and had him install a scope on it, so it was not zeroed in. At the time of the shooting, there's a black lady named Betty Skase was a waitress in Jim's Grill. She heard a loud noise in the back of the grill, and so she went back into the kitchen, thought something blew up in the kitchen, and as she walked in the kitchen, Lloyd Jowers came walking in the back door with a rifle in his hand. And he immediately says, "Get back up front and wait on the customers." So she left. And
well, we're out of time, but we'll cover a lot of this when we have to go on our evening program. God bless. Thanks so much for being with us, Galen.
It's my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Galen's got a lot more great stories. He's talked with us. He's done the research.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Thank you.
Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and certainly we carry some of the things that Galen talked about. He's written an excellent book, and it's The Murder of JFK, RFK, and MLK, or the assassination of, and of course you can order the book through our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have an interview, a two-hour interview with Madeline Duncan Brown, Lyndon Johnson's mistress, as she tells about the party the evening before. That is in our JFK Update 4-tape set. That's the JFK Update 4-tape set. And you'll hear Madeline, who's now gone to be with the Lord, actually telling about her 21-year relationship with Lyndon Johnson and about the party the night before President Kennedy was killed, and she'll tell you who was there at the party. Then, of course, Galen has another product. It's a speech given by David Rockefeller. It's probably in the late 1990s. It's called American Union 2005, and the plan was they were going to create the North American Union, or a union of all of the states here in the United of the Western Hemisphere by 2005. Now, it didn't come out that way, fortunately, but because we would have lost our freedom if it had. But they're still working on it. They're planning on the North American Union by 2010. But it's an amazing thing to hear David Rockefeller talking. We have this on video, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we have Galen's book on who's who in the elite, and the list, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateralists, the members of the Council on Foreign Relations. The book is a couple of years old, but it's still a valuable asset, and I keep it behind my desk or on top of my desk at all times, because it's nice to be able to know who the traitors are, these people who are globalists. Now, you can't be an American and be a globalist. You can be a globalist if you want to. You have that right. But, of course, your desire is to destroy America and, of course, to merge us into a world government. And when you become a United States senator or a president and you swear an oath to God to support the Constitution and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and then, of course, you join an organization dedicated to the destruction of our sovereignty, like John McCain has, like Bill Clinton has, why, of course, you know that these people say one thing and are doing another, because they're not defending America. They are traitors. They believe in a world government, as both McCain and, of course, Bill Clinton do. And tragically, this is the situation we face today. And globalists do not believe in America. And by certainly every definition in the Patriot Act, those people who want to forcibly change our form of government, they are terrorists, according to the definition of the Patriot Act. I wonder when the Office of Homeland Security is going to move against Bill Clinton and John McCain, both members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, all of those items we mentioned, the book Who's Who in the Elite, the video American Union 2005, the JFK update, the four-tape set, and certainly the book, The Assassination of JFK, RFK, and RLK, all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war. America's under attack today. Please pray for revival in America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Want to talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation.